We're in the second week of a five-week sermon series exploring the topic of local church membership from a biblical perspective. So now, just by way of a brief recap, last week we looked at who we are as a church, the day described in Acts chapter 2, which we began to look at last week. Many would think of as the birthday of the church, and it was a day of empowerment, preaching, integration, and essentially church planting, where the first local church was planted. And each of these elements should be evident in a thriving local church. Now, this week, our focus will be on believing and belonging, and how these two elements come together in a local church. Just before we go on, let's take a moment to pray. Well, Father, as we return to the subject of church membership, and as we continue to consider Acts chapter 2 and other passages in your word to us, I pray that you would open our hearts, that we would indeed hear from you, and that you would transform us. God, we thank you that you are at work in our lives. We ask that you would continue to work in our lives this morning, that we would be able to be all that you've called us to be for your glory. And we do again thank you for your precious word to us. In Jesus' name, amen. Now, God knew that it was not good for Adam to be alone in the garden, perfect as it was, and he knows that it is not good for any of us to be alone either. I don't mean that we should never be on our own. After all, Jesus set an example to us all of the importance of spending time on our own in prayerful stillness. But I mean that even when we are on our own, we need to know that we belong, because we were created to belong. Firstly, we were created to belong to God. And secondly, we were created to live in community with others. As Christians, we do belong to God. Romans 14, verse 7 and 8 say of Christians that none of us lives to himself and none of us dies to himself. For if we live, we live to the Lord, and if we die, we die to the Lord. So then, whether we live or whether we die, we are the Lord's. We belong to God. And the second part of 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 19 and into verse 20 say, you are not your own, for you were bought with a price. We belong to God. And as Christians, we also belong to each other. Romans chapter 7, verse 4 puts it like this. You also have died to the law through the body of Christ, so that you may belong to one another, to him who has been raised from the dead, in order that we may bear fruit for God. And yet there is a sea of people in our day who belong neither to God nor to any kind of meaningful community. Yesterday, Sarah saw a curious sight. A gentleman was in the process of setting out a tea party on his lawn. The guests, according to a brief glimpse that she got as we drove by in the car, were lifeless mannequin dolls. Because I was driving, I didn't see it myself. And of course, in that brief moment, as we passed by, she might have misrepresented the scene, but it wouldn't have been at all surprising to me in these crazy times if the reality of the situation was just as perceived, that a gentleman was preparing to have a tea party with lifeless imitations of real people that he might wish were actually joining him for tea. Mannequins aside, the world is filled with lonely people who desperately long to belong. And many are willing to do whatever it takes to fill the void. In one sense, we who live in these days are more connected than ever, and yet we are also more disconnected than any generation in history. We're digitally connected, but disconnected emotionally. We're in touch via online profiles, but out of touch with each other's hearts. We might not be the sort to have tea parties with mannequin dolls, but many of us are too often guilty of engaging with our screens while simultaneously disengaging from friends and family. And then even though we are surrounded by crowds of people, the kind of loneliness sets in like dark clouds rolling toward the shore. For some of us, of course, we're all different, and some of us are possibly less susceptible to the traps of the modern online lifestyle. Maybe because you were raised before the invention of the internet, or because you're just self-disciplined in this area of life. But in one way or another, we're all impacted by the modern crisis of belonging. We're driven by choice or by necessity to work excessively. Many of us are drawn away from authentic belonging by excessive busyness or transient lifestyles where low interpersonal commitment is valued above the building of genuine community, and where individualistic gains are valued above servanthood. Others of us might live quieter lives. Our friends and family have become, or by their moving away, or by their passing away. And so through no undertaking of our own, our sense of belonging has been ripped away from us. All the while, by very design, our longing to belong is not satisfied until we intentionally move towards others and are received into a loving community. Most of all, true belonging can only be found by belonging to God, because He is the one who created our need to belong. In turn, belonging to God is worked out as we discover what it means to belong to His people, the church. And this is where belief and belonging come together. This morning, we're going to be exploring what I've called the three B's of belonging to God and to each other. They are belief, becoming engaged, and being devoted, which is drawn from the ESV version, that word devoted in the scripture version that Stephen read this morning was steadfast. So being devoted or steadfast. Belief is an intrinsic element of belonging. This is true not only as far as belonging to God and a local church is concerned, but it is usually true of other relationships and communities too. For example, a community of cyclists come together with the shared belief that cycling is a worthwhile activity. And there might be those in this room who disagree strongly, especially when you're trying to pass them on the road when they're in a bunch. But a community of cyclists share the common belief that cycling is a worthwhile activity, even if individual cyclists within the group have different motivations for getting on their bicycles. Regardless of their differences, however, the group as a whole would probably not be too welcoming of someone who showed up with a tire slasher and a t-shirt that says, "I hate cyclists." As another example, political activists who hold shared beliefs about climate change and immigration and other hot-button topics might be drawn together to form a party so that the voice of the community is more prominent than the sum of the voices of the individuals. Naturally, however, those whose beliefs stand in opposition to the views of the party wouldn't really belong in the group, and certainly wouldn't be given a platform to speak at a rally. Countless examples could be given to show that in every sphere of life and society, belief is an intrinsic element of belonging. As far as local church membership is concerned, believing and belonging go hand in hand, especially because we are a belief-centered community. And that is why page 9 of the membership booklet mentions three essentials of becoming a member. And the first and most important of these is that someone needs to be a true Christian. This is because the glue that holds our local church together comes from the central pot of beliefs that are clearly presented to us in the Bible. And our purpose as a local church is to glorify God by walking together in these beliefs. Someone who holds contrary beliefs simply can't do that. Now, you might have come across the invitational phrase, belong before you believe. It's a phrase that is used by many local churches. And I think it has significant value, but only if it is correctly understood and applied. In one sense, we do want everyone who comes to church to feel welcome and to experience a sense of immediate belonging among us. Of course we do. And I hope that if you're visiting or even considering joining New Life Church this morning, that's how you feel, that you feel welcome in this place. On the other hand, the sense of belonging that a seeker or a visitor might experience, and particularly a seeker who is yet to believe in the gospel, doesn't equate to the sense of belonging that rightly belongs to those who truly believe in the central beliefs preached by that local church. It's like you can't really belong to a competitive swimming club if you have yet to learn to swim. In the context of a local church, this might all sound a little exclusive, but then again, so did Jesus, who said in Matthew chapter 10, verse 38, "Whoever does not take his cross and follow me is not worthy of me." I think that these words of Christ mean that we can't be members of a Christ-centered gathering if we aren't Christ-centered ourselves. Yes, of course, that Christ-centered gathering needs to be welcoming and hospitable to others who are not Christ-centered, but to be a member of that group, it's essential that we're Christ-centered. Belief has to be the glue that leads to belonging. And none of this means that we need to have all the answers worked out, or that we need to have it all together all of the time to become or to stay a member of a local church. If that was the case, the world would be full of empty churches. But it does mean that belief is a requirement not for church attendance, for all are welcome to attend, but for church membership. Now, it must be said very clearly as we progress through this membership series that belief in the gospel and belonging to Christ is of far greater importance than belonging to any particular local church. We don't believe in Christ so that we may belong to a local church. It's the exact opposite. Because we belong to Christ and have come to believe, we should then want to belong to a local body of believers. But as far as unbelievers are concerned, rather than quickly offering them a superficial sense of belonging by receiving them into membership, even though they don't believe, the most loving thing we can do for those who don't believe is to help and encourage them along the way toward belief. Because believing is much more important than belonging. On that note, if you are still exploring the claims of Christ and have yet to follow him, I would love for you to belong to our community in the deepest possible sense. But first and foremost, I would want you to believe in the God who created our need to belong. Our second point is that belonging entails becoming engaged. Once we believe, in response to the gospel, we are called to become engaged. Firstly, we need to disengage from the kingdom of darkness, and then we need to engage with the kingdom of light. It's like a private landline. We can only make one call at a time. And 1 Thessalonians 5 verse 5 reminds us, we as Christians are all children of the light, children of the day. We are not of the night or of the darkness. So we should choose to engage with the kingdom of light. And then verse 8 says that we belong to the day. We belong to the day, not literally, but spiritually, because our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, is the light of the world, and we belong to him. In fact, as most are probably familiar with, we belong to Christ so intimately that one of the biblical analogies refers to Christians as members of his body. This body of Christ is also known as the universal church, as we considered last week. And to become a Christian is to become a member of the universal church. This is why a believer is not rebaptized if they move from one local church to another, having been baptized as a believer in their previous local church. And it is why we as New Life Church have an open table when it comes to the Lord's Supper, as Stephen reminded us only a few moments ago. Yet, membership in the universal church doesn't negate our need to belong to a local church. If we belong to Christ, we do well to belong to a local body of believers, and we should eagerly desire this to be so. As written in the membership booklet on page 6, one day the true universal church will be clearly visible for all to see, and one day all true believers will eternally and tangibly experience a belonging as members of the universal church. In the meantime, however, the universal church is displayed and experienced on earth in the form of many local churches. Essentially, our belonging to Christ is displayed to the world most clearly by our belonging to a local church and by our love for one another, as John chapter 13 reminds us. Our final point this morning is that belonging entails devotion. And being a member of a local church is an excellent expression of devotion. Yes, we are primarily called to be devoted to Christ, but we are also called to be devoted to one another. And devotion to the universal church works itself out through devotion to a local church. Being devoted means that we stick around even through difficult situations. It means that rather than withdrawing, we seek resolution by speaking the truth in love if there's been a breakdown in relationship between ourselves and another member. And we seek to be part of the solution if other kinds of problems have arisen. Acts chapter 2, verse 42 to 47 illustrates just how devoted the early Christians were to the first local church in Jerusalem. Verse 42 tells us that they devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and the fellowship, to the breaking of bread and the prayers. Centered on gospel truths and principles, they believed and engaged with all their hearts, even to the point of selling their possessions and belongings and distributing the proceeds to all as any had need. And we read about that in verses 44 and 45. We're not all called to sell all of our possessions and give the money away, although God does call some of us to extraordinary generosity, as we read about in Romans chapter 12. But God has called all of us to be devoted. And day by day, we read in verse 46 to 47, attending the temple together and breaking bread in homes, they received food with glad and generous hearts, praising God and having favor with all people, and the Lord added to their number day by day those who were being saved. But thanks be to God, those who once did not belong had crossed the threshold of belonging as they came to believe. My prayer is that He will add to our number also, not so that we can become a big church that can pridefully puff out its chest, but so that more people in our locality might come to know Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior. More than anything else, in the depths of our beings, we've not been designed to belong to ourselves, but to God. And as an element of that, to each other. As we close, I offer you the following reflection. Not to be known and not to be loved is to be ignored. To be known and yet not to be loved is to be rejected. To be loved, even though one isn't known, might feel good at first, but it is a superficial kind of inclusion. To belong, however, is to be known and loved. In the words of Tim Keller, to be fully known and truly loved is what we need more than anything. It liberates us from pretense, humbles us out of our self-righteousness, and fortifies us for any difficulty life can throw at us. My hope and prayer is that we are a people who truly belong to God and that we continuously grow toward truly belonging to each other. Amen.